So this is the other plan that I was looking at, and we're going to probably pause on this one after the PowerPoint's done and just pull up the whole map. But what I wanted to represent here is these are the mooring areas, theoretically. They're not the I didn't go out and like meets and bounds like that's what's in the harbor ordinance. But what I want to do at some point is make sure that I get the labeling right on each of these areas, because they all have a mooring number to them. And this is that channel, informal channel that you were talking about right here. This is an anchorage area. There's a mooring area over here by the breakwater. I think this is that other informal channel that you were talking about. This is the main channel coming in here. So I've tried to represent this, and the stars represent public access points. And what I think is really cool, or not cool, pat myself on the back. What I think is really interesting about this particular map is you get to see, like, wow, you have all these huge, I probably missed something over here, but there's a bunch of moorings, and I think one of these is like the busiest one, this one. But the public access points are all way over here, or up here, or up here. And then you have, this is, I mean, a busy area. This red line represents sort of the north-south sort of delineation of that mooring field.
I would just share on this map that a stakeholder corrected me when I referred to the lower channel as informal, because the city policy or city ordinance defines it in some way. So they had asked that we refer to it as a city channel or sure. Something that's a little bit different than the informal one up above.
Do the feds recognize it?
No.
Pardon me?
They do not.
So it's a non-federal, but
it could
a
be. This gets to the
this could be a worthwhile thing to pursue.
This gets to the other stuff that we have to look at. How formal do we want it? Do we want to apply to the Army Corps of Engineers and keep it as a local, locally maintained channel, in which case they do recognize it and let us put buoys in there? There's all these mooring fields are absolutely wonderful, but they're the same as anchoring in the middle of no place. If you have a boat and you leave it on one of these moorings out there, you're the same as being anchored in the middle of Pulpit Harbor. These are not mooring fields as far as the Army Corps of Engineers or the Coast Guard is concerned. It may be that one of the strategies is we want to protect these mooring fields and we want to apply for, a special mooring area?
I think that is a special mooring.
That one down there, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
But the rest of them aren't.
Right. What would be the advantage, Ed? Right.
Well, people.
What would be the advantage in having it probably recognized as in a proper mooring area?
It'd be legal, for one. Navigationally, there's different rules when you have a designated anchorage area.
You don't have to put out anchorage lights. I think they had a problem in Falmouth a few years ago. Somebody was speeding through a mooring area, and he hit a boat that didn't have an anchor light on it, and he sued the owner for not having an anchor light. And he said, but I'm on a mooring field, but it wasn't a designated mooring field, and so he won.
So would you see it as a protection to people using the mooring fields?
Could be seen that way, sure.
Would there be any negatives to it?
I'd have to really dig into it.
But the point is really that's another thing that we look at. That's one of the great things about a map like this is it gives us something else to talk about.
Yep.
How do we want to manage the harbor?
So at some point then we should probably discuss seeking to get those mooring fields that aren't formal.
Yep.
If I'm using the right word, formalized.
Well, I suggest.
And not that we do it, but that we discuss whether we ought to recommend it.
Well, what I'd like to suggest is that, I think this is a really good map to try to understand, like, what's going on in the harbor, these are not 100% representative of the actual legal description of the mooring areas that's in the harbor ordinance, but perhaps in my mind, this is sort of a topic that's a good one to dive into at the next meeting.
And that brings up, do the ordinances really reflect what the harbor mooring areas are or not?
Yeah, I doubt it.
Not anymore.
That one of the recommendations from this policy is going to be to change the ordinance to match reality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for what it's worth, I would encourage you to identify what reality is.
Yeah.
And save the kind of what we should do till right. after you've right. agreed on the facts. Yeah.
He can overlay. There's different maps on GIS with what we have right now.
Great.
Yep. I think it's interesting that we have a mooring over field over here, which is Owl's Head, and their access point is right there. So, you know, again, I'm not pointing these things out as a reason to have a discussion about it, but if you were to just sort of look at this map, what does it tell us? It says, you know, here's some interesting, you know, things about the access points, you know, in relation to where the moorings are. As we've talked about the mooring fields in general, you know, according to the NOAA chart, there's a anchorage area right here also. So there's a bunch of things that kind of jump out at
from a planning standpoint. You should also put the private access points.
Yep.
That's
on there,
point.
Where people keep their dinghies, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what makes those mooring fields work.
That's a really
is the apprentice
one.
Shop has a dinghy dock and the
yep.
Ocean Pursuits has one. And so you can see it's not just city access.
Right.
One question I have, the green spot, the most northerly one, how is that, where is that? I know it's off Waldo Ave, kind of in that vicinity, but I'm totally unfamiliar with that. I'm curious about it.
Yeah, I'm not. I put that on there because I know it's a town-owned land. I wouldn't necessarily call that an access point.
Yeah, I don't think there's an access point there.
It's in fact, more like the soccer field for the Baptist
Church. Yeah, that's not quite far enough round, is it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, not a viable.
Right.
You really have to come way out here to have any sort of usable space for, you know.
No, I was just curious, you know, what it represented because I wasn't familiar with any public land up there.
Yeah, I can
I
change that.
I think it is public land, but it's not a public access point.
I think this parcel right here
worth
is public
discussing
land.
When we get to that.
And that dark area that's coming down from Route 1 and is to the left of the star is where the water flows.
Right here.
The harbor. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I see.
Yep.
It's a great place for collecting mud.
I actually tried to find one layer that you won't see, and I've been trying to find is more information on when we get to the water quality. I have a lot more research to do on water quality, but where are the, you know, outfalls for streams and stuff? And this probably is one of them.
Just so I'm clear on this, the only designated anchorage that we have right now is the one which is kind of bisected by the what I'm calling the South Channel.
This one?
Yeah. That's the only designated anchor.
I think, I'm not sure, but
what's that? I believe it's called a special anchor.
Special anchor. It's the only special anchor.
Okay. The other ones are designated anchorage areas.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
So we have to see in Coast Pilot what the note says.
Yeah.
So we certainly need to look into this issue of channels and mooring fields. That's obviously key to anything to do with the harbor operations, is where you can park your boat safely, where you can drive your boat safely. Et cetera, et cetera. This is clearly big.
Yep.
No wake zones. You know, there's a ton.
Well, you know, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Just to keep going a little bit, you know, not to spend a lot of time on this, we really need to do a little more analysis, but, you know, there's about 600 moorings, but the breakdown, you know, looks a little bit like private, you know, rental service, and we can talk a little bit more about what a private mooring is versus a service mooring versus a rental mooring, but I thought it was interesting also to think about, you know, residential moorings versus non-residential moorings, and this is sort of like the opposite of what I would have thought, actually, that there's a lot more non-residential moorings than residential moorings, which isn't always usually the case. Then I just sort of...
It's the economic hub thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just thought it was an interesting fact for me.
Also because it's impossible to get a mooring anywhere else.
Yeah. And you have, your ability to go, you know, as Matt was saying, it's not great necessarily out here, but you're not constrained necessarily, right?
And because Rockland really is the best place in the state to sail from. So people from all over the state keep their boats here.
Yep.
And that's one of our discussions is, you know, how do we maximize the use of the mooring space that we have? Because at some point in the future, we're not going to have enough room to fit all the moorings, because it seems as though we keep on adding and adding and adding. Mm-hmm.
In your data gathering, is it worth thinking about what portion of the moorings are Rockland residents and Rockland businesses, and what are, you know, recreational, broader, further afield? Does that have a revenue implication? Yeah, I was wondering if we have different fees for different types of moorings.
The different fees would be resident, non-resident, rental. Help me out here, Ed.
That's all.
Well, the service moorings.
Yeah, but service is the same as rentals.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a commercial privately owned or a recreational privately owned. It would be the same fee.
Okay. And that was my next question. And what does private mean in this context? Do they pay a fee to the city?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think there's a distinction between rental and service, and what, how many rental moorings you're allowed to have, and how many service moorings you're allowed to have. So I think service moorings.
20 rental, 5 service per entity.
Okay.
So I've got that also.
And certainly that's, you know, been on the books for years and years, and that may be something worth considering.
Right.
You know,
I think that should all be on the table.
It's better. You know, if you had 30 rental moorings to cover your insurance overhead costs, you know, ton of implications that we might not think about.
And thinking about me, who's new to this stuff, I don't even know what the definition of those three categories would be. And you don't need to tell me now. We can educate me offline. But as we think about building whatever this document becomes, it would be great to define everything as if the reader knows nothing.
Right.
So they're done that way, aren't they? The ones I've looked at have huge pages of definition before you get into the meat of anything.
Yeah.
Which I believe the ordinance does.
Oh, yeah, the ordinance does.
It can just be a link, even.
And that spells it out for you.
Yeah.
Chapter 9.
I've got that here, too, in case anybody's interested. Good times. All right. So I think this is interesting, and I might not have the names right, so we'll just want to confirm, Matt, when you get my version. You know, I don't know if I got all the right things in the right spot, so I might have missed one in here, too. We talked about something in here.
That's Armco.
Yep. Seemed like such a small area to put 29 moorings, so.
It's the most prized.
Yeah, it's 29 boats in here.
Amazing. Yeah, I don't think that's what Lerman Cove is anymore. Lerman Cove includes that little blob right over there off of the apprentice shop.
Oh, the orange one as well.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so we'll want to take a look at that.
Yeah.
I might, like I said, I might have missed one. Whoop, where'd I go?